I do have an excuse for forgetting things. I am about as tired as a man can get. You know how, I was talking to Melissa last night, I said, you know how when you're standing there and you're talking to someone, or you're sitting and you're trying to do something, and your eyes are closing on their own? You ever have that happen to you? Yep, they start closing on their own. You're like fighting to keep them open. That's kind of been my week. My week has just been like going from here to here to here to here to here to here with no break. And we have a couple of store managers on vacation this week, so I've been working extra hours to cover for them in addition to the hours that I've been working on my own. So my body is really, really tired. But oddly enough, when I lay down to go to sleep, and how many of you had this happen? When you lay down to go to sleep, your brain keeps working on all the things you need to get accomplished or you maybe forgot. And it goes and it goes and it goes and it goes and it goes, right? And then you can't sleep. And then when you wake up, you go...
And it's 3:00 in the morning?
Yeah. And you're like, you haven't slept yet. And then you got to get up and you got to go out and you got to start doing that all over again. And then what happens when you get into that tired state, right? And your mind starts playing tricks on you and things happen and you get a little edgy. Sometimes you get a little edgy, right? And then little things start to bother you and people start to bother you, right?
I'm sorry, I'll leave.
I'm describing a woman? Anyway, so what happened, right? Yeah. This is going on all week. All week this is going on. And then, how many of you got this? Then you've got the person at work who maybe didn't get the job you did or wish they had the job you had or whatever. And they have made it their unending purpose in life to make sure that they figure out anything that you may have done wrong and point it out to you. You have that going on? Anybody ever have that? Yeah. That's why you work alone? Yeah. And they do that all the time. And so you're looking at them and you're going, "What in the is the matter with you? You can't put it what have I ever done to you?" You know? And they're like this and you're looking at them and they're looking at you like you should do things the way that they do them, and if you don't do them the way that they do them, then you're doing them wrong. So all of this frustration. And I am deadbeat tired. I come home, and the first two words out of my wife's mouth every night is, "Oh, baby." I mean, she could see it. You know, she could see it in my eyes. She could see it in my face, see it in my body, my posture, everything. And she knows something has been hammering on me, right? And so all week long, this is happening. It's just boom, boom, boom. And I'm just like, "Father, just let me get some sleep. Help me to deal with some of these people." It's the whole thing is just come, right? It's like crashing down on me, right? The whole thing. Yeah, Marlene's laughing because she knows exactly what this is like. Or Bob cracked a joke. Thanks, Bob. I appreciate it. Yeah. That's all right. Just help me out. Good. Everything was going that way this week. And then something amazing happened. Right in front of everybody that was bothering me, right in front of some of the people that I just got done talking about that were, you know. One of my drivers walks into the store, and I tried to send Matt a picture, but it was way late last night. It's up, you got it? Okay, I didn't think so.
Is it on Facebook?
I put it on Facebook because I felt like God was giving me a teaching moment there. But one of my drivers walks into the store with this beautiful picture of Jesus sitting at a table with these mountains behind him, and he's got bread and wine in front of him. And underneath it, it said, "In remembrance of me." And on top was a note just stuck there. No name, no nothing, just a note. And all it said was, "Mark, thank you for changing my life." Okay? And he hands this to me and I said, "Where'd you get this?" And he said, "A person drove up in the parking lot, said, 'Do you work here?' And I said, 'Yes.' Got my AutoZone shirt on, you know, had to make that funny for him. But he said, yes. And the person said, is Mark in there? And he said, yeah. Would you please give him this? He doesn't need to know who it's from. Just give this to him. Guess what? It changed everything. Everything. In that moment, everything changed. Everything was different. My attitude was different. My fatigue was different. The way I looked at things were different. The way I looked at people were different. Everything changed. That person said, thank you for changing my life. And that thing changed my life. Changed everything. In a heartbeat, just like that. Now, isn't it funny? And I have no idea who the person is. I said, well, they didn't give you a name? No. Male, female? Well, I know, but I'm not supposed to tell you. So I have no idea. No idea. But in that moment, God changed two lives. Okay? Two lives he changed. So then I got to thinking. And that's kind of the title of this today, is I Got to Thinking. Okay? So I got to thinking, how do we change people's lives? How do we do that? I don't know how I changed this person's life because I don't know who they are and I don't know what I did to deserve this amazing gift that they gave me. You know where that thing's sitting? It's sitting in the fireplace on the floor. It's still got the note attached. And you know why? Because every time I walk by that thing, it reminds me that we can do this. It reminds me that I have the power within me to change my attitude, to change my focus, to change my being, and to help somebody else change theirs. And I walk by that thing 50 times a day now, whenever I'm at the house. There it is. There it is. It's right there. And it's going to stay there until my wife says, can you please hang that somewhere? But it is, so I'm thinking, okay, how do we change people's lives? And a million things came to my mind. We change them in a million ways. We can give money to somebody who needs a little help. We can give money to a food bank who's helped feeding the poor. We can give clothing to people who don't have anything. Someone's moving. They need help. We go help them move. Somebody needs help with their car. We help them with their car. We have so many examples of this in this church. It's incredible. I know for a fact, because I saw it on Facebook, I saw a letter written by a parent of one of Cord's students. You don't think that man changes lives every day? Every single day. Every single day. And there are going to be kids that are going to come up to him 30 years from now and say, Mr. Earhart, one day you said this and it stuck with me forever. Whether it's on the cross-country team or in the classroom. Every day. Jeremiah Grevy, God bless his soul. Is there anybody in this house that he hasn't helped? I didn't think so. Not a one. That man has helped everybody in here in some way, shape, or form at some point in time. Changing lives, helping people, doing things, everything. It's amazing to me, all the little tiny little things that build up to something to inspire somebody. To go to a gesture like that, to give someone this beautiful little painting with a note that says, thank you for changing my life. And so I'm thinking, I got me thinking, okay, how can I keep doing this? Because I kind of like this thing, you know? I kind of like this feeling in here. I kind of like the idea. And how did this happen? And then I got to thinking, I didn't change that person's life. God changed that person's life through me. He changed that person's life. He just used me to change that person's life, right?
In remembrance of him.
Exactly. In remembrance of him. So then I got to thinking, how special is it? How special is it when God says, I'm going to use you to do something special in someone else's life. How special is it when God comes up to you and says, hey, something I want you to do for me. Think about that. Just something I want you to do for me. Not, you know, me going to Lisa or Matt last night. I'm texting Matt wildly because, you know, and Cord will tell you this and other people, Tom and Dave and everybody that's preached up here, you know, you've got your plan laid out. You know what you're going to say. And then the night before you get, you know, boom, 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 you get bombarded, you know, and God's just filling you with stuff. And I'm madly texting Matt and go, hey, here's a picture. Can you put this up on the screen? Oh, here's another one. Oh, here's another one. You know, all and Matt's out with his lovely wife and he's like, why are you doing this to me now? You know, but that's what happens. So, and I'm thinking to myself, how cool is it that it's God going to Matt or to Lisa or to Cord or to Melissa or to Jake or other people and saying, hey, something I want you to do for me. How can you say no? You can't say no to God. You can't say no to your creator. You can't say no to Jesus. You can't do that. Right? You can't do that. But we do because we don't hear it. Because we're so busy, we're so wrapped up with the people and you know all this going on. And you're so wrapped up with, I got to be here and I got to be there and I got to be here and I got to be there and I got to do this and I got to do that and I got to do this and I got to do that. And blah, 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 blah. Right? And we miss it. And we miss God saying, hey, something I want you to do for me. So then I got to thinking, how valuable. How many of you have been watching Lisa Davis's Facebook posts the last couple of weeks? Rock my world. And this is right along with what she's been posting. How valuable are we to the kingdom of God when he is equipping us and asking us to do his work? How valuable are we when the creator of heaven and earth, the sun, the moon, the stars, the galaxies, the universe, and everything in it is saying, I need you to do this for me, and I'm equipping you to do this for me. How amazingly valuable are we? So then I got to thinking, okay, it drew back into focus the Great Commission. You know, go therefore, baptize all nations, teaching them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Blah, blah, blah. You've all seen it. It's Matthew 28:19-20. It's the Great Commission. It's what we live by, right? What we should live by. But sometimes we don't. We don't because we get too busy. We don't because we get too locked in to things that we got to accomplish or think we got to accomplish. And so sometimes we just let that stuff go and we don't do what he commissioned us to do. So I'm thinking, okay, how can we do that? How can we do what Jesus asked us to do? Well, there's a million ways. There's a million ways. You can share the word. Okay, well, what is the Word? The Bible says Jesus is the Word, right? And the Word became flesh, correct? Think of Eddie and Shonda Jewell. What do? Every day, all day long, they teach Jesus to people. They pull people off the streets. They drive right up to them in their car, and they go, you know what? Jesus is crazy about you. He is crazy about you. They teach these people who are down and out and destitute and taking drugs and prostituting themselves, you know what? I don't care what you've done. I don't care where you are in life. I don't care what your opinion of yourself is. Jesus is crazy about you. He loves you. And he loves you just the way you are. And he's never going to stop loving you. And you know what? He died for you to forgive all these sins that you're so worried about. He took care of all that. So you can do it that way. You can do it a million ways. You can do it the way that Mr. Earhart over here does it, teaching kids every day. And he doesn't just teach them math, folks. He teaches them life lessons. And they learn from that, and they grow from that. And he teaches them stuff in cross country, too, about teamwork, about perseverance, about courage, about guts. And we're going to talk about courage in a few minutes, about going beyond what you think you can do, which is, in essence, the essence of my message today, going beyond what you think you can do. going beyond what you think you can do. Because we get complacent. You know, and we sit and we think, I just want to go to church. I just want to soak in a little bit of Jesus' presence and say, thank you, God, for all my blessings and sing along with the music. And then I want to go home and live my life. We got to go beyond that. We got to go beyond what we think we can do. And I know that we can do that because God is equipping us to do that, because Jesus said we could. He said we could. Then I found an amazing, amazing Bible verse. It's Romans chapter 15, verse 19, where Paul says this. Paul talks about preaching the gospel, right? All he's always talking about preaching the gospel, preaching the gospel, preaching the gospel. You know how Paul said he best preached the gospel? Paul says, in mighty signs and wonders, by the power of the Spirit of God, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. In mighty signs and wonders. Now, does that mean we got to be walking into cemeteries and raising people from the dead and that's the only way we can preach the gospel? No. Signs and wonders come from everywhere. And by the way, got a hint for you. A lot of those people who are already in heaven, they don't want to come back here. They don't want to come back here. They're perfectly happy where they are. They are perfectly happy where they are. So then I got to thinking, okay, what is a sign and a wonder and a miracle? Well, we've seen them in this house all over everywhere. Corey's a miracle. She should have been gone. And there she sits, as beautiful and vibrant as ever. Their three kids are miracles, all of them. Science said, you can't have kids. Cord and Corey said, with God, you watch me. One of them is teaching our children right now. Yeah, pretty special. Wendy Sebastian was dead. They said she was dead. So our pastor rounded up a bunch of people and went over there with his guitar and they started singing. And guess what happened? Boop, she woke up. My wife was bleeding profusely when she was pregnant with Jacob. She sat in a chair and I knelt down in front of her for hours and prayed. For hours I prayed. Called the doctor. She said, you better bring her in and we'll clean her up. She went in. The doctor found the heartbeat. That amazing, precocious young man sitting right there is a miracle. A miracle. It's a miracle that my wife brought me to this church and that I'm standing here in front of you teaching. That's a miracle. It may not be raising Lazarus from the dead, but it's a miracle. Bill remembered that my name was Mark this morning. That's a miracle. Although, he does call me Mike. When he misses, he calls me Mike. Now, I will tell you this. My younger brother's name is Mike, and my wife and my son will tell you that there is no more precious human being on this planet than my brother Mike. I would take a bullet for him. I would lay down in front of a car for him. I would do whatever he asked me to do because he is amazing. So to be called Mike, not so bad in my book, Bill. You can call me Mike, call me Mark. You can call me anything you want. Trust me, I've been called worse, I'm sure. Okay? But anyway, miracles. We've seen a few here, haven't we? I saw a man who was gray and pale, not breathing, unresponsive, no pulse, with family and some techs around him with gadgets not before the EMS arrived. I saw that man open his eyes, begin to breathe and respond to his father when my wife prayed in the spirit over him. I saw a man rise from the dead before my very eyes. I know it happens. I prayed for a young lady who did not believe in God, didn't believe he existed, but as a last resort, because she wanted to sing that night, she said, can your God fix my throat? And I said, absolutely. And he did. And you know the story. She put on a cruise ship ministry and put 5,000 people to Jesus. Because of one prayer. I've seen miracles. Every one of you has prayed for somebody and seen something amazing happen. It happens. It happens every doggone day. And then we go back to our lives and forget about it. Well, I'm here to tell you, we can do that every day in our jobs, in our schools, in our lives. We can make a difference every single day. We can watch miracles happen every day if we believe. And there's no reason not to believe, because Jesus told us we could. And I'm not going to call him a liar, are you? I'm not going to call him a liar. It's like that testimony that Tim shared with us one day, where the missionaries went over to Africa, and the African pastors and ministers over there, they were raising people from the dead by the hundreds every month. People would die, and they'd bring them back. And the American missionaries were going over there like, how are you doing this? And the African priests were going, because Jesus told us to. What's the big deal? It's to raise people from the dead. That's what we're doing. Bang! Wake up call. Light bulb. How many of you have seen that movie? You know? The American pastors were like, oh my gosh. And here we've been overthinking this. And here we've been letting fear and doubt block this amazing connection that we have here with God. Do you know the difference between us and Jesus? There was no block. There was no fear. There was no nothing. He had one thing, the Father's will in mind. That's it. That's all there was. It was him and the Father, him and the Father, him and the Father. So that tells me, got to thinking, if I become more like that, then I can walk by and people will be healed by my shadow. Correct? Absolutely. And why? Because Jesus said, all these things that I have done, you will do, and greater things because I go to the Father. Tim just talked about that last week. We have the power. It's here.
We have the power.
You know? We have the power. It's all in here. It's all here. It's not out here. It's not in the stratosphere. It's not in the cloud. We don't have to call up Apple and get permission. It's here. It's right in here. Okay? And I think it has to do with courage. Now, one of my favorite Bible verses, or one of my favorite Bible stories, is in 1 Samuel. Remember Saul and Jonathan and the armor bearer? Remember that story? The Philistines are up on this ridge. The whole Philistine army. Just massive Philistine, powerful Philistine army up on this ridge, right? So Saul says to Jonathan, I'm going to go sit under this tree. Why don't you go take care of them? Right? So, Jonathan, standing there, right, with his armor bearer beside him, and he looks up at the Philistines and he says, I think we can take them, right? And the armor bearer goes, yeah, let's do this. And he said to himself, Jonathan said, Lord, I know that if I climb this cliff and I get up there and I get all the way up there, then I know that we're gonna claim that victory when we get to the top. And that's exactly what happened. Now, there is some courage. Well, let me tell you something, folks. The world loves courage. The world flocks to stories about courage, whether it's from police officers or firefighters or the military or athletes or who it is, somebody fighting cancer, somebody fighting a debilitating disease, somebody showing courage. The world loves those stories of courage, do they not? Yeah, they love those stories of courage. And so I happen to think that the world also loves to see amazing things happen, don't they? It fills your heart, doesn't it? When you see something amazing, it gives you extra breath. It makes you feel good. It makes your heart swell up. It makes your emotions just go, ah, yeah. The world is waiting for amazing things to happen. Okay, so then I got to thinking, so how can we make these amazing things happen? And then that got me thinking, well, you know what? If you want to work miracles, you need to hang out with the one who worked them. Right? You need to hang out with the one who worked them. So then I got to thinking, okay, you know, at night, instead of sitting on my couch and thumbing through Facebook or reading about how my Cleveland Indians keep, you know, guys keep getting injured and they're falling off the cliff and, you know, all this stuff that I'm reading about the Buckeyes and the Browns and blah, 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 you know, maybe what I should be doing is sitting up in my room with my eyes closed and talking to God. So that's what I did last night. Maybe I should be spending more time there. Maybe if I'm spending more time with Jesus, these miracles that he's telling me that I can do, I'm going to see them happen more and more and more and more and more. So I highly recommend that you try that. I think we know what God has for us. We know what his commission is. We know what Jesus said we could do. We know all that. You know what, folks? I think that the world is waiting for us to take our place. I think that the world is desperate for us to take our place. I think the world is waiting for Jesus again, and I'm looking at a whole room full of him. And all we got to do is dial into that and understand that and having the courage to live it. Now again, I'm not talking about rushing off someplace and trying to raise a bunch of people from the dead. I'm talking about doing even little things. Little things a little bit at a time. A kind word, a gesture, a helping hand, providing encouragement to somebody who needs it. Telling somebody that their worth is amazing to you. You know what? You know how amazing you are? Let me tell you how amazing you are. You know what that does to somebody? When someone else comes up to him and says, let me just give you a hint of how amazing you are. You know why Tim pulled Lisa up last week? Exactly that. And we're going to do it again today. And trust me, I'm not going to talk forever because I got to be at work at noon. So that's why this message is not going to be real long. Yeah, I got to be at work at noon, believe it or not. Swap this shirt out for my gray shirt. Come and see me. You want to see a miracle happen? Come to AutoZone this afternoon, okay? I'm sure God is going to provide me with an opportunity to make some small miracle in any way, shape, or form happen. Remember the lady that I prayed for that didn't believe in God, and I prayed for her shoulder and the pain went away? And 3 weeks later, she drove up in the parking lot, walked in the store and said, Mark, will you come out and pray for me? Those are miracles. Those little things, those amazing little things are miracles. And we can make those happen every single day. Every single day. If we're thinking about it. And we're not letting the world put that block between us and God. If we can do that. Do you remember the story in the Bible about Eleazar? That he was fighting a battle. And his sword was so mighty and so strong. That it got to a point where the sword was actually like melded to his hand. They were one unit, the sword and his hand were one unit. That's what we need to get to. We need to get to the point where we and Jesus, our sword, is one unit. That's where we need to be. And you're awakening to that right now, aren't you? Yes, I know you are, because it's all over Facebook. When we and the weapon are one unit, guess what? We are invincible. No power in hell can stop you from doing what you want to do when you and the weapon are one. Can't happen. It can't happen. God made this very clear to me. Okay, I'm going to take my glass off because I want you all to look me right here. Look me in the eye. Water is longing to be walked on again. Water is longing to be walked on again. Wind is longing to be stilled again. The storm is longing to be calmed again. This world is waiting for us to take our place. Yes. The world is waiting for us to calm the storm, to still the wind, and walk on water. It's waiting for us. It's begging for us to do this. Why is this world in such a mess right now? Think about your kids when they throw a temper tantrum. What do they want? Attention. Why is this world throwing a temper tantrum right now? Because it wants attention. Attention. It wants our attention. It wants Jesus. And who is going to give him Jesus? We are. Because we've been equipped and we've been empowered. And it's time that we take our place. It's time we take our place. Yep. There's no more waiting. There's no more waiting. I've waited long enough. I let the world carry me to places this week. I mean, I started getting bitter. I started, you get that thing going on in you, and you just, you know, I started getting bitter. And God knew I was getting bitter. And then he sent an angel. And everything changed. Everything changed. And it made me feel so good. And I couldn't cry because I was standing with a bunch of guys. You know how it is, guys? You know, I wanted to tear up. I wanted to show all that emotion, but I couldn't because a bunch of guys standing there with me. You know? Do it anyway? Yeah. Yeah. And then there's another amazing thing. There is another girl that works there. She's been there forever. An amazing, amazing, amazing woman. Bob knows her really well. She's got two autistic boys. A beautiful daughter, older daughter, and then two 17-year-old boys that are autistic. And she will go to the wall and back for those boys. She has given up her life for those boys. But not sure she believes there's a God. She was standing over at the other end of the counter. She walked up as I'm looking at this thing. And she looked at the note. And then she looked at the picture, and she goes, maybe there is something to this, and walked away. Wow. You know, and then that got me to thinking, maybe this wasn't for me. Maybe this was for her. And that got me to thinking, how dare I think that I could understand God and his ways? And then that got me to thinking. That's what Lisa's been saying all week in her posts. Don't limit yourself. Don't limit God. Let him do what he's going to do. Let him take you where he's going to take you. You be amazing the way he created you. The Bible says that we're amazing. Right? Yeah. We're amazing. Let him take you where he wants to take you for you and for everybody's life around you that he's wanting you to touch. Let him just move you. So that's what I'm going to do from now on. Use me. I'm a puppet. It was that old song from the 50s. I'm your puppet. Yeah, it's me. Because if I can make other people feel the way that that person made me feel, the way that God made me feel through that person, if I can make other people feel that way every day of their lives, then I'm pretty sure when I get to heaven, God's going to say, well done, good and faithful servant. I think that's what we all have to aim for. We all have the power. We can define, listen to me, the world is crazy right now. We can define the course of history. We can define the course of history. Paul did it. Moses did it. Think of all of them that did it. Down through the years, down through the Bible, down through. Billy Graham did it. Look at all of them. They changed the course of history. They changed the thinking of an entire generation. The man walked this planet over 2,000 years ago and it hadn't been the same since. And he's the one who said, everything I've done, you're going to do, and even greater. And it didn't say, by the way, read the verse. It doesn't say, everything I have done, you can do. It says, everything I have done, you will do. You will do. What more authority do you need than from the Savior of the world? Yeah. So I'm going to encourage, we're going to bring somebody up here and do some more encouragement this week before I got a bolt. But I'm going to encourage you. Think about this stuff. Think about that commission that he gave you. Think about the fact that he has empowered you to do everything he told you that you will do. Think about changing somebody's life this week. There's got to be somebody at work, at school, at home, somewhere, a relative, a friend, an acquaintance, someplace that you can do something with to change their life. That you can, in some way, shape, or form, make them think differently about themselves, about their circumstance, about their potential, about what they have to give to the world. There's somebody out there whose life you can touch, whose life you can change. And you can do it today, and you can do it all through this next coming week. Somebody's life is going to change because of you this week. So think about that. You can and you will change someone's life this week. It's coming. He's going to give you that opportunity. That was the other thing that made me think when I got that thing. You know what? This is going to happen again. There's going to be other opportunities for me to touch somebody in a positive way. And I'm not going to miss it this time. I'm not going to let the world get in my way. I'm not letting the world get in my way. Okay?